Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I picked Kansas last year.
I know, to win it.
To win it, and I got hurt. But you know, I'm looking at those twins, the Morris brothers. I think they've got depth. They've got experience. And although Louisville's a terrific team, I don't think they can beat Kansas.
All right, so a Kansas versus Pittsburgh semifinal. Who wins?
That's Kansas.
That's it. That's our president. The world is on fire. Japan is melting down. The dollar is melting down. It's at its lowest point since World War II against the yen. Did you hear that? The U.S. dollar is at its lowest point since we beat them in World War II. That's because we have a weak president. I don't think you understand this. But there's a lot involved in the value of currency in terms of perception. And the world apparently has finally seen the invisible Marxist president for what he is. A shill of the highest order, or shall I say the lowest order. But the fact of the matter is, this is astounding. And if there was a clause in the Constitution that permitted impeachment for other than crimes and misdemeanors, there'd be impeachment hearings. That's assuming we had a real Congress. Because no country can survive a man as vacuous, or shall I say the hollow man that we have in the White House. This is astounding, ladies and gentlemen, but it's to be expected if you studied Obama the Invisible or Obama the Imaginary or Obama the Pretender from the beginning. So let me ask you a question. If you voted for Obama, if you had voted for Obama, if you did vote for Obama, would you still vote for him today? And if so, what has he done? It's not enough for you to just call like a true believer and say he's great. You got to tell me what he's done that still engenders your faith in him. If you voted for Obama and now you've lost faith in him, tell us what it was that finally allowed you to see the light. Thomas Paine once said, lead, follower, get out of the way. Obama is not leading. He refuses to follow the advice of the American people who he works for, believe it or not, and he won't get out of the way. He is a classic narcissist, which we know. The fact of the matter is we're being screwed worldwide. Back in the old days, before the last election, I wrote a book called Trickle Up Poverty. And remember, I had a whole chapter on what he was doing to NASA and our military. Remember, I said that Obama would relegate us to the position of having to hitch rides on Russian rockets when we ever want to send our astronauts to the International Space Station. Well, the only difference is since I wrote that is that Russia has raised the ante. Russia has decided that since our president is naive enough to have closed down the U.S. space program, he's probably naive enough to think the Russians won't gouge us when we ask them to take our astronauts into space. They were right. They were right. Right? I was right. The original estimate was $56 million per ticket. The Russians just said, now, since you have no choice, it'll be $63 million per ticket. The Russians know a sucker when they see one. They know that a president who backed down from installing missile defense systems in Eastern Europe is not about to quibble over a $7 million price hike for a seat into space. The fact of the matter is that less than 2 years into Obama's presidency, a majority of Americans have seen through the imposter in the White House. They see him for the weak and decisive tyrant that he is. And they sent a strong message in the 2010 midterm elections. Remember that. They voted to reverse the trickle-up poverty that continues to erode the middle class. There was a vote against Obama. There was a mandate on Obama. And Republicans picked up 63 seats in the House of Representatives, giving them a 49-seat advantage over Demon Cats. In state governments, the results were even more decisive. There are now Republican governors in 29 of the 50 states. And Republicans overthrew Democrats in another 20 state legislators. And what did our ever-arrogant president do in response? Did he listen to you? Did he listen to the voters? Did he change course? He did what you'd expect a narcissistic leftist dictator wannabe to do. He doubled down on the policies that are weakening the country and driving the U.S. farther into bankruptcy. 1-800-449-8255. In other words, the election results didn't change a thing. In other words, we do not live in a democracy. In other words, we live in a semi-tyranny. In other words, no matter what you say or do, nothing's going to change. Or is that true? In the Japan situation, what do you expect a leader to do in a case like this? Obviously, he can't do much more than send an aircraft carrier, which, by the way, I repeat, whoever authorized the movement of that carrier battle group within range of that original nuclear disaster should be fired. I don't care how high it goes. Whoever made that decision is an incompetent loser who should be fired. Whoever said just send the carrier group in there without analyzing that that fallout would hit the carrier, would contaminate some of the crew, would contaminate the ship itself, is a dangerous individual. And I don't know who did this. I don't know whether it was the Admiral of the Pacific Fleet. I don't know whether it was the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I don't know whether it was the President himself. But this is a big story that's not being discussed. Today they moved the carrier 50 miles out to sea. Who was it who moved the carrier so close to that area? That is a disastrous error. Am I the only one in America who understands what this man is and what he isn't? The Nuclear Regulatory Commission today said that all the water has gone from one of the spent fuel pools at Japan's most troubled nuclear plant. Japanese officials are denying it. But if NRC Chairman Gregory Jasko is correct, this means that there's nothing to stop the fuel rods from getting hotter and ultimately melting down. And the outer shell of the rods could also ignite with enough force to propel the radioactive fuel that is inside the reactor and inside the containment facility, outside and into a wide area. This is extremely serious, as you well know, or do you well know what's going on? I hope you do. But it's not time for panic. I certainly wouldn't take the advice of the Sturgeon General, who is recommending that you go and rush out and buy potassium iodide, and I told you why yesterday. The reason is very clear. Potassium iodide is a potentially toxic substance, especially when you don't need it. And I'm afraid that many people are so panicked right now because of the dumb Sturgeon General and the misinformation out there that they're going to start taking potassium iodide as a preventive. Nothing could be worse. Don't do it. Eat seafood. Eat deep water fish. Eat kelp from organic seabeds wherever you can find it, if that's available. Certainly I wouldn't. I avoid seaweed and have for years. That's not domestically produced and not domestically produced from beds that I know. I won't eat seaweed. It's garbage. Most of it's filth grown in poison water. But I don't want to go into a health food show right now. Where do you stand on Obama? If you voted for Obama, would you still vote for him and why? If you didn't, if you voted for Obama and you've decided that you're shocked, what has he done that shocked you? Okay, that I think is a great question, by the way. There's an awful lot to talk about here. We are told that he listens to no one except his wife and his mother-in-law, who are his chief advisors inside the White House. Did you hear what I just said? That Obama is so sequestered inside a, what should we say, an ivory tower? It's not even an ivory tower. It's the tower of irresponsibility that he's locked himself within. And it's like Mad King Ludwig. It is like Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria, who I was once very fascinated by when I was 18 years old and was fascinated by such things. You know, if you read The Sufferings of Young Werther by Goethe, you understand everybody goes through a phase of adolescence where they think they're great, they're important, they're the greatest, and nobody on earth can top them. It's classic adolescence. And King Ludwig II was, I'm not going to tell you the story again, but I wrote an article about King Ludwig when I was 18, which I sent to Esquire magazine, which they did not publish. But it's in my archives. Still a fascinating article, incidentally. But just like King Ludwig, who bankrupted the treasury of Bavaria while his ministers were saying, stop, king, stop, king, stop, king. We can't afford to build the Schloss Herrenchiemsee, which is a mimic of the Hall of the Palace of Versailles. We don't have the money. The king kept building it. The king kept building it until he bankrupted the treasury. It's the same with Obama. Obamacare is sort of like the Palace of Versailles. It's modeled on a system that doesn't exist anywhere on earth. He created a hall of mirrors that simply benefits the people who put him in power and other greedy individuals who are so un-American that they're not worthy of the phrase anti-American. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We have a winner here. someone who is still a true believer of Obama. Mike in Houston, go ahead, please.
I voted for Obama, and I will vote for Obama again, sir.
That's great. Now tell us why.
During the Bush era, we had stock market plummeted. Right now, the stock market is doing very well and making good money.
When have you last checked the stock market? Because the last I checked, it just went down about a few percent today. Did you catch that yet or not?
Yeah, I did that, but, you know, overall, I'm up like 27%.
So in other words, because you're up, he's a great president. That's a very, very intelligent decision. I guess that's the way most people think. In other words, if you had made money on the Japan disaster, you'd like him even more?
Well, I mean, no, of course not.
Well, why not? What if you had put your money in the hedge fund that made several million dollars or $200 million on $200,000 by betting against Tokyo Electric? Wouldn't you be happy today?
Yeah, that will be too much risk for me, but, you know, I'm happy where
I am.
So,
in other words, from your point of view, anything that profits you is good, and anything that doesn't profit you is bad.
Correct, yeah.
That's how you look at the world. So you don't look beyond your own income?
No, sir, not really.
And do you work for a living, or are you simply a retired investor?
I do day trading, basically. That's what I do.
And you're a day trader, so you're one of the greedy speculators who was involved in ruining America. That's why you like Obama, because he has no controls over you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least you're an honest man. You're a greedy speculator, and you have no controls that have been put over you by Obama, so you like him. You see, at least the man is upfront about it. See, that's what I like about honest people. At least you know where you're coming from. You know what I'm saying? Here's a guy who's very clear, very upfront. He likes Obama because there were no controls put over speculators in a garden of numbers, and that's all you need. Doesn't matter. The next man is suffering. The country's dying. The economy's a wreck. Doesn't matter that we're bankrupt for the next 50 years. It doesn't matter that the people are screaming for leadership and all they're getting back is a night basketball score. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I am deeply concerned that the current nuclear plant situation is critical. Currently, the entire nation is putting forth its best effort to save all suffering people. However, under the severe cold weather, evacuees are having a very difficult time because they lack food, water, and energy sources. I truly hope that we will be able to save lives and perhaps slightly improve the lives of victims. And hopefully with these efforts, we will be able to encourage victims and offer them hope as they try to recover.
That's a very rare appearance in translation by Japanese Emperor Akihito, telling the Japanese people, I guess, that he's concerned and he's hopeful. That's a little more than we have in the frat boy president that we have. Here we have the crisis in the Middle East escalating, and he manages to tape the NCAA men's basketball tournament so he could fill out his brackets and pick the winner. And this is while Japan is overwhelmed by a disastrous earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear meltdowns. He still managed to squeeze in a round of golf, which is the 61st since he took the oath of office. And this same week, he welcomed the 2009-10 National Hockey League champion Chicago Blackhawks to the White House. Do you find it bizarre? Do you find this kind of behavior alarming? I do. Now, of course, don't rush to judgment because Michelle Obama, that's the first lady, today replanted the White House garden. She replanted her popular garden on the south lawn of the White House today, not with lamb chops and ribs and cheeseburgers because you can't grow them, but she used the 24 fifth graders as shills from nearby public schools to help dig the soil and plop in seeds. And she planted lettuce, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, radishes, and beets, and other things that she doesn't eat. First Lady said, there's no way we would get this done without your help, before everyone set up the 1,500-square-foot plot. Beets are new this year, although President Barack Obama doesn't like them, we're told. This is the third spring planting of the Victory Garden in the White House. As you well know, she's writing a book about her garden and the benefits of healthy eating. Yep, that's right. Let them eat broccoli. That's the country that we're in today. There's always been hypocrisy coming out of the White House. This is nothing new. Politicians are, you know, known to be bad actors. What did they say? Politicians are bad-looking actors or something like that? I don't know how it was put. You can laugh about them all you want, but it's all we've got. Now, what's going on at the same time is even worse from the Republican side. They're attacking the freshman class, which you probably heard about already today. The freshman class of Republicans are saying, wait a minute, to the old liners, cut it out. You were put in power. We were put in power to cut the budget. And they're getting nothing from the John Boehner crowd of pink ties. And they're screaming loud. And what's happening is the check pants Republican country club guys are pushing back and attacking them as right-wing extremists within the Republican Party. You cannot believe what's going on here. They were put in power to cut billions and billions of dollars. Do you understand that? But if you actually knew what was at stake, you'd realize it's almost futile in any case. It's hard to explain this. I'll just make it simple. Republicans boasted about their plan to cut $4 billion from the federal budget every 2 weeks through continuing resolutions until a budget was passed. That's what they said after the election, right? But they continue to remain oblivious to the fact that $4 billion barely covers what we spend every day just to pay the interest on the national debt. Do you understand what I just said to you? The interest on our national debt is $4 billion a day. And the Republicans won't even cut the $4 billion every 2 weeks. Congresswoman Bachman urged them to rescind the $105 billion in hidden appropriations for funding Obamacare that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid snuck into that legislation. It still didn't happen. So we're living in something other than the United States of America. I mean, I can come up with all sorts of new phrases to make it cute, but it's not cute. Because of Obama, the world is melting down. The world is melting down because of his lack of spinelessness, excuse me.
Savage.
After last year, look, here's what happened. I picked North Carolina. They lost. The next year, they won for me. I think Kansas is going to do the same thing. They always feel bad about losing when the president picks them. They're going to go all the way.
I think he's doing a fine job. He's showing, I don't know, some kind of steely resolve and a refusal to bow to any kind of anxiety over what's going on in the world. This shows a strong president, someone who's not a kind of little weenie afraid of everything. I mean, the man needs a break. That's why he should play as much golf as possible, night basketball, day golf, have parties at the White House. This shows leadership. Many of us are carping about his lack of leadership. I mean, you're not seeing it the correct way. This is a strong president who doesn't want to panic the population. And that's why he's leaving, well, tomorrow's St. Paddy's Day. He's got to celebrate that, of course. That's a tradition in the White House. You wouldn't want him to miss that, the green beer and all. And then, of course, he's off to Brazil to check on Soros' energy investments with U.S. taxpayer dollars. That's what a president should be doing at a time like this. Not worried about mere triviality such as the wreckage and carnage he created in Egypt, the wreckage in Libya, the wreckage in Tunisia and Algeria, the turmoil in the Middle East that he and Brzezinski and Carter created. Nah, let it play itself out. It's like school kids where you say, let them work it out. You look the other way. Que sera, sera. That's the new motto of the White House. Que sera, sera. Nati pluribus unum, the new Latin motto over the White House will soon be que sera, sera. What will be, will be. Yes, that's the new president that we have. And yet there's panic in this country because of a lack of leadership. You have the Sturgeon General telling you to buy iodide as a precaution. That's the Sturgeon General. When every expert says the radiation will likely never reach America, and even if it does, it'll be so dissipated that you will not need anti-radiation tablets. And yet people are rushing out like the little weenies that they are. All of the health food freaks are running in for their little tablets. I don't understand it. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's say there's a meltdown and thrown into a high westerly jet stream on a clear day. It could theoretically get into the upper atmosphere. It could get significant radiation deposition in the U.S. Yes, it's possible. And then you would need the potassium iodide. But you could be doing what we told you on the show. Eat fish. Deep water fish. Deep water fish. Not whitefish and pike. Deep water fish. Forget the gefilte fish. Forget the lox. I myself went out and I took a precautionary move last night. I drank an extra couple of beers and I had a corned beef sandwich. I figured if there's going to be a meltdown and radioactivity reaches the West Coast, I may as well enjoy the last couple of meals of a corned beef sandwich. I went to a lovely recital in a recital hall where three young people played chamber music. There were maybe 20 people in there. I've decided to indulge myself in areas of my mind that I have neglected far too long with the commonalities of talk radio. You know, how long can you do this until you start to rot from the inside out? No, I went to a chamber concert, a little obscure chamber concert. I said there are still people on this earth, young people who are trying to achieve greatness in violin and you know, and such. And yet I sat enchanted. I felt like I was in the tail end of the Titanic watching the orchestra. I didn't care. It took me out of my ordinary woes. Then I went to a slap joint on Van Ness Avenue that I haven't gone to because of all of the bums outside. And I had a corned beef sandwich with a couple of beers and too much salty pickles and beans. It was delicious. I didn't get any iodine, I'll admit. But I'll make up for it, I promise you. In fact, I think I made up for it today at lunch. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, I went to my famous Chinese restaurant in the city. And I think I had seafood. Tonight I'll go down to the wharf and make sure I do have seafood, all right? What are you going to do, panic over everything on Earth? How can you live like that? How many people are panicking listening to this show? And what about Obama? You think he's doing fine? You think he's faking it? I mean, I don't think he's a weak man. He didn't get to be the president. Look, you know, you got to understand how this works. He's hoodwinked those who think they've hoodwinked him. Let's start with that. He didn't become president because he's stupid or weak. He let them think they could manipulate him. Once he gets in power, he's manipulating them. That's why so many of the decent people have resigned around him. All he's left with are the left-wing hacks and the overt Marxists, communists, Stalinists, Maoists, and the other ists. The Alinskyists, the Alinskyites, are all around him. So why shouldn't he have fun with basketball bets and a betting pool and trips? Hey, you don't get to, you know, you only go around once, man. Why not send the old lady and the kids on a $75,000 a day trip every few months and tell the people, you know, if you don't like it, eat it. What are you going to do? Complain about it. He owns ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, NPR, your PR, my PR, his PR, their PR. He owns every PR planet on Earth. He's got my PR, your PR, their PR, NPR. So what does he need you for? Ohio Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
What I really like about President Obama is his desire to lead us in his actions and trying to get us reduce our dependence on foreign oil as far as conservation and putting in green technologies. And
that's, you know, very good, Bob. And how long off do you think it is until we can actually use green technologies to power our power plants and to heat our homes and run our cars? You are aware that this technology is not yet here.
It's here in a lot of ways. I know. I was able to, when Jimmy Carter was in office, I was able to...
Let me ask you something. Do you own an electric car, Bob, like a Chevy Volt?
I'm going to buy a Volt. As soon as they come out, I'm
okay,
going to buy...
You're going to buy a Volt because you're a do-gooder and you're a man who believes in saving the environment. That's very noble. Are you aware that it takes more energy to create the electricity to run that car than it does from the energy from oil and gasoline? Are you aware of the statement that I just made, the reality of that? In other words, where do you think the electricity comes from?
Okay, because in Ohio here, we burn lots of coal.
Bob, try to follow the discussion. Try to use logic. You understand that an electric car needs to be plugged in to work, correct?
My point is,
I'm asking you a question. Do you know where the electricity comes from, Bob? Or do you think it just comes out of the air?
It comes from a coal plant in Ohio.
Okay, so to run that coal plant produces what, Bob?
Electricity.
Yes, Bob, and what are the waste products of running the coal plant, Bob?
Michael, look, you have the equivalent.
Oh, no, you won't answer a question. Don't say, Michael, look, I'm not your son. You realize that you couldn't win the checkers game, so you went to another checkers game. But let's stop playing backgammon with each other, Bob. If you want to be a fool and tell yourself that he's saving the earth, you can say that, but it's not true, Bob. It is not true scientifically. It's not true economically because the technology is not yet here. I would love to be driving a hydrogen car. The technology isn't here. And little electric cars cost more and produce more pollution in the long run because of the production of electricity than does the use of oil and gasoline, Bob. That's the reality right now.
Mike, I care about getting us off Middle East oil. Now, I know
you do. Wait a minute. Then why is it that your hero stopped drilling in the Gulf of Mexico? That's not from the Middle East.
What?
Yes, you heard me. Don't make me repeat myself. Don't play the standard liberal trick. What, your hearing aid suddenly went out? You said what? You want to get us off Middle East oil as if that's the whole sine qua non of the argument. Then why did he stop the drilling in the Gulf of Mexico? That's not foreign oil.
Because it hurt the economies of New Orleans so much. Mike, if you care
about... Whoa. What are you talking about? It's Obama who ruined the economies of New Orleans by stopping the drilling. Moreover, why doesn't he drill for oil in the Alaskan slope if he wants to get us off foreign oil?
Because as long as we have the oil Jones and don't turn all our attention to these technologies that we don't need this oil, how are we going to do
it? Bob, you're way out of your league. You see, you're a decent person, I'm sure, and you want to do good. But as you well know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The technology is not yet here to drive our homes to drive our cars to heat our homes. Don't you understand that?
Mike, how much gasoline do you use when you go out in your boat to support?
Bob. You're not following the discussion in any way. You just have your head in the sand and you want to believe Obama's doing the right thing because you're an idealist. You're an old hippie idealist. And you think that because you voted for him, you don't want to, you know, admit you made a mistake. That's all, Bob. The fact of the matter is it costs more to run an electric car in terms of pollution, meaning you add up the electrical generation, than it does to get oil producing gas, Bob. But since you didn't go to school and you don't understand the science, we have to disengage from each other. New York, WOR, Pete, welcome to the program.
You know, I was going to say what you said. I think Obama is not weak. I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do, which is move us towards this one world economy, this new world order, which, you know, Bush was the same way. I voted for him. I would vote for my cat. I would vote for my shoe before I would vote for him again, though.
For who?
Obama. I would never vote for him again.
You're one of the masses who was hoodwinked into thinking he was the answer. He had hope in you had hope in him because you thought anybody but Bush and McCain. Isn't that why you voted? Because you knew McCain was a shill, a repeat of Bush's policies, and you were fed up with it.
In hindsight, it was a mistake. But yes, I thought exactly that. I thought McCain...
Right. In other words, they ran an old war horse like McCain, and they used his war record again to hoodwink the American people. They airbrushed his past, McCain-Feingold, et cetera, and they made you think that he was going to be a conservative when, in fact, he shot himself in the foot every time he was leading in the polls against Obama, because I think that McCain was clearly set up as a fall guy by the Republican Party to make sure the Democrats took the ball and ran with it because it was their turn.
Well, obviously, you might be right. I'll tell you one thing, though, about solar. We did put up solar panels in Vermont, in my in-law's house. And the efficiency blew me away. We're actually getting about $15 to $20 back from the electric company every month, and that's in Vermont.
That's hard to believe, given that Vermont has so little ambient sunlight.
I know. We couldn't believe it either, but we did cover the entire side of the house. It cost about $18,000 for us to install it, but...
Right. Hold on. Okay. No. You run the math, and you run the energy equivalent. How much energy did it require to manufacture those tiles that make up the composites that collect the solar energy? In other words, there was energy required to manufacture those solar panels, correct?
Very good point, yes.
See, now no one puts that into the quotient because those are absorbed costs that are hidden from the average person. Let me explain this. In 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I believe there will be solar technology, and I certainly agree we need money for the research to push us there. I've been wanting solar energy since I'm 10 years old. I used to look at old man's sun and say, why can't we run on solar energy? You think I enjoy walking in the street and inhaling fumes? I don't enjoy it any more than I enjoy hailing my neighbor's damn fireplaces with the Obama signs. Why is it that the houses with the most pollution, the biggest smokestacks, who use more firewood, all voted for Obama? I'll never understand. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ohio State looks terrific. That young guy in the middle,
Jared Sollinger,
knows how to play. Last year, I did not pick Duke, and Coach K gave me a hard time. So I'm going with Duke getting to the Elite Eight.
It's good to know that we have such a calm and collected leader in the White House, a man who, despite all of what's going on around the world, refuses to show any sign of stress, anxiety, panic, a man who can focus instead on relaxing. I mean, this is an important attribute of a president, the ability to turn things off and to compartmentalize. And you got to admit that the man knows how to relax. That's why he deserves another vacation to Brazil on Friday. And tomorrow is St. Paddy's Day, another celebration. This is not the sign of weakness or a lackadaisical attitude. No, you Republican right-wing lunatics have it all wrong. This is a strong man showing calm in the eye of the hurricane. No, just get wit. I mean, you don't see it right. What do you want, him running around like a chicken without a head, screaming like some Republican capon out there about everything going on in the world? It's not his problem that Egypt's a total anarchistic mess with police rounding people up, police stealing things in Egypt. The wreckage that he didn't create that. In fact, he sent Hillary Clinton over there. Now listen to what she has to say in clip 19. This is the greatest cover-up in the history of the State Department. Listen.
Compared to Egypt, the United States is a very, very young country. 225 years, 7,000 years, you know, there's not much of a comparison.
Let's stop but right there. I think Hillary Clinton has become insane, personally. She saluted Al Jazeera last week. Now she's in Egypt while the country is in turmoil. And she puts America down and says Egypt is a very old country compared to our measly 225 years. Do you people understand that there's a disconnect in reality here? Listen to that again. Listen.
Compared to Egypt, the United States is a very, very young country. 225 years, 7,000 years, you know, there's not much of a comparison. But we are the oldest.
Let's stop right here. You know, I used to say I wish that Hillary Clinton had won instead of Obama. I used to think she was sort of a middle-of-the-road Democrat. I didn't know that she was totally crazy. I think she's lost her mind. Something has gone wrong inside the... Something's wrong, and I think what it is power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as stated by Lord Acton, still one of my favorite quotes. You haven't yet seen it on the blackboard. Today he wore patches on his elbows to show that he was a professor, wearing a costume that hasn't been worn in colleges in perhaps 50 years. Our next will show up in patent leather, those shoes, the white and black. I forget what they were called. I never saw anything like this. But okay, there's craziness everywhere. The world is crazy. The world is burning. It's filled with madmen. And if you can keep your head with all those around and losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. I try. Believe me, I try. When you have a mad government, you have madness in the media, and you're part of the media, and you're here to criticize a mad government, which inherently is very dangerous, because as you well know, mad people are extremely narcissistic, egotistical, and very dangerous. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. But I'm not suffering. I'll tell you who's suffering. Soldiers. The men in Afghanistan, those who are still in Iraq, on the front lines, are the ones taking the worst beating in the history of America. I have a letter in my hands from the mother of Sergeant First Class, Private First Class David Lawrence, who was given a life sentence. Even though He was found to be not responsible for his actions at the time of the incident due to schizophrenia and severe PTSD. They gave him a gun. They sent him to guard a Taliban commander. He killed a Taliban commander who tried to escape. They gave him a life sentence, and his mother wrote me, quote, "They called my beautiful son a murderer, a liar, and many other things. My husband and I have been threatened with fines and imprisonment via letters from the President of the United States and Army prosecutors if we do not turn over all communications between us and our son," close quote. This is what they're doing now. These rat bums in the Obama White House and the Obama military, the most disgraceful military in history, are now threatening the parents of this man. Now the prosecutors are calling a hearing to subpoena my son's medical records, which we were promised would stay confidential. Our family is mentally, emotionally, financially devastated. They have done this to us in 5 months, a short time to ruin people's lives. Our son is broken. My beautiful, good-hearted, brave little boy with the blue eyes and curly blonde hair. Nobody will help us. They do not care. My husband and I are convinced evil is running the country. My son David is on a third stay at a mental hospital. He was given a life sentence. Savage, your voice is the light in the dark. I never miss your show. Sincerely, Mother of Private First Class David Lawrence. It could tear your heart out. Could tear your heart out. We have a moron, a genius in the White House talking about basketball. David, their son, was sent to fight for this country. And because he did his job, and he isn't the only one. There are other soldiers who do their jobs, and they're given life sentences. One thing after another, started under Bush. Bush destroyed the military's command structure. And now it's gotten to the point where they're putting men away for doing their jobs. Heartbreaking. They're the ones who are suffering, not you and I.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I picked Kansas last year.
I know, to win it.
To win it, and I got hurt. But you know, I'm looking at those twins, the Morris brothers. I think they've got depth. They've got experience. And although Louisville's a terrific team, I don't think they can beat Kansas. Last year, I did not pick Duke, and Coach K gave me a hard time. So I'm going with Duke getting to the Elite Eight.
Scotty Demo Cortens.
Mark of a real leader. We got Japan melting down. We got the Middle East on fire. We got the currency at the lowest point against the yen since World War II after we beat Japan and Germany. And we have a president showing such steely resolve that on the order of one of the great leaders of all time, he's focusing instead on night basketball and on things of that nature. He's not giving into the panic that you weenies, you know, are worried about. Fallout, the crashing dollar, bankruptcy, this is not bothering him because he's got it all under control. And that's why he's able to celebrate St. Paddy's Day tomorrow with the Irish and then fly off to Brazil to make certain that George Soros' investments in Brazilian energy are being taken care of. You understand this is the mark of real leadership. And that's the important thing to know. It's important to know that we have such a stable man at the helm. That's all. So that's it. U.S. says plants' spent fuel rods are dry. Japan says no. They're flooding out of there, by the way. They're leaving. They're flooding. You know, here in San Francisco, before the show, I walked around by the waterfront, by the ferry terminal. I love that place. I bought an onion bread. Life goes on. I bought an onion bread. It's filled with mainland Japanese youngsters there. I don't mean children. They're all flying in here. I read in New York they're taking their parents in, which is good. America's great. We have unlimited resources. We can bring in Give me your hungry, your needy, and your wanting from around the world. Bring everybody in, Egyptians, Algerians, Tunisians, Japanese, whoever needs to come to the succor of America. Bring them all in. After all, we have an unlimited capacity for dealing with tragedy all over the world. Suddenly it's 1952 and there's the Marshall Plan. There's Hillary Clinton running around the world writing checks as though they're her checks. And Obama, as I say, is flying off to Brazil on Thursday for another vacation with family, en famille. That's good. It's a young family. He's a young fella. He's on top of things. You don't expect him to give up family life for the presidency, do you? Let's see. More governments advising citizens to leave Tokyo. Petraeus reveals that son served in Afghanistan. Good for him. Rebels battle the whole city under Gaddafi siege. That's a big story, the rebels. Was that rebels without a cause? This is a horrible thing, but I'm actually rooting for Gaddafi. Because although he's a monster, it's Al-Qaeda who wants to take over Libya. I don't think you can comprehend that whole part. It's horrible. It's a Hobson's choice between Hitler and Stalin. You know what I mean? The devil you know and all of that. The knee-jerk reaction is the rebels are good. But better be careful there. What else is in the news? Oh, it's everything. It's a nightmare. Who could look at this anymore? So that's why I had a corned beef sandwich last night. I figured, what the heck? If I'm going to get dusted a little bit with the meltdown, I may as well eat a corned beef sandwich before the end. I was going to have the buffalo stew in that dump, but I don't know. I feel bad for buffalo. I know they're lower in cholesterol, but I just can't eat buffalo meat. Enough of them were killed, I figured, by the early frontier monsters who shot them from trains and let them to rot on the plains. I mean, it was the Indians hunted them. They considered them sacred animals. They didn't slaughter them for sport. Like you goons going killing animals for nothing, slaughtering bears up in Nevada. Whoa, that gets me crazy. But you don't want to hear about that. Imagine cowards hunting bears in Nevada with dogs and bows and arrows and guns, putting a bear up against the tree and having the bear ripped apart by dogs and then killing him with a bow and arrow and then telling you that they're brave. They're not brave. That's all. Elite Japan nuclear workers race to stop meltdown. Bahrain locks down kingdom as uprising surges. See, another unintended consequence of Brzezinski, Carter, Bush. Who knows, maybe Bush. Bahrain, Carter, and Obama. I mean, we have one of the largest naval bases around the world is in Bahrain. You'd like the rebels to win there, too? The youngsters in tight dungarees who all went to Berkeley somehow? Where'd they all go to Berkeley and get a tight dungarees? They all come back with tight dungarees and a Facebook, and they cause a revolution. But then after they win, who takes over? The Muslim Brotherhood. They cut their throats, and then it's the Muslim Brotherhood or some other fanatic group. More governments advising citizens to leave Tokyo. U.S. drones allowed over its territory, says Mexico. Okay, let that one go. I can't deal with Mexico as well. Many anxious as exiled Haitian leader plots return. Is that an old story? Oh, God, look what I have to do for a living. What would you like me to talk about? I can give you intelligent answers, comedic answers. I could be comedic in the political arena. I could be political in the comedic arena. Whatever you'd like, okay? New York, Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing there? Quick question. What is wrong with Obama talking about March Madness in basketball? Tell me what is wrong with that, and what is your...
Well, for an idiot like you, it makes perfect sense. For a person disconnected from reality as you are, the typical sports-loving American male, that is something that you would consider to be leadership.
I'm not a sports lover. It's just the fact that you're demeaning this man because he's talking about basketball.
That's, well, of course, basketball is more important than Japan or Egypt, isn't it?
Savage, let me get it in. You're talking about...
Andrew, I asked you, is basketball more important than Japan, Egypt, or the current currency crisis in America? I mean, be serious now.
Does he have to talk about Japan 24 hours a day?
He doesn't talk about it at all, Andrew. He hasn't said one word about any of it.
And you're talking about what? You got stuff going on in Japan. You got stuff going on in Egypt. You know, you're forgetting he's the president of the United States. The United States. Now, if he was over there doing more stuff in Egypt and Japan, you would be saying, oh, my God, he's over there in Japan, and he's not worrying about the United States. I mean, he's damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Andrew, listen. I know you're very excited, and you assume that your excitement is the equivalent of intelligence and reason. But you have to understand that excitement does not equal intelligence and reason. It just indicates stupidity in your case. The world is laughing at him. We have a crisis in our own country of epic proportions. Are you aware the dollar fell to its lowest value against the yen since World War II? Do you understand what that means?
Yes, yes. I understand.
Well, hold on. You say yes, yes. What does that actually mean?
That means that the value of our dollar is actually decreasing. I know.
And don't you think that that's a crisis worthy of discussion by the President of the United States?
But you have no idea if he's discussing that in behind
closed doors. Oh, you mean in between the night basketball and the barbecues, he's racking his brain when we don't even see.
Right.
He's sort of a Lincoln-esque figure who is suffering all night long with the woes of the world, and he's only putting on a happy face for us. Oh, I didn't see that, Andrew.
One thing that you think for...
Oh, he's really a great leader. He's really great. Is there anything he could do that would have you doubt him at all?
Yeah, there's things that he does that he can doubt. I mean, he's a little weak in the foreign policy. Of course, he can be a little stronger in foreign policy, but you can't...
What do you mean stronger in foreign policy? In which area?
They say that his relations dealing with how he handles certain things and how he handles the war that's going on, and people in Afghanistan not pulling out the troops, and that his policy is a little weak. He's not that strong. And foreign policy. That's one of the big things to say. Well, he's not a good foreign policy man. He doesn't do this and that.
So you agree he's weak on foreign policy? Oh, right. At least we have some common ground. And you say he's strong on domestic policy? In which area?
I believe he's one of the first presidents that actually conquered the health issue and actually tried to make some sort of dent.
Sir, what do you mean by conquered the health issue? Are you aware that this corrupt president has granted 1,000 waivers to Obamacare to anybody who pays their way out, they can get out? It's not even in the bill. Do you understand that this is total corruption? Are you aware of that, Andrew?
Right, but I don't. But what I'm saying is,
what you're saying is you're a dummy who doesn't know what he's talking about, and you just still have an opinion because you're from New York, and you figure a big mouth equals intelligence. Do you understand that 1,000 waivers that are not even in Obamacare were granted to individuals and corporations who don't want any part of this nightmare called Obamacare? By the way, are you willing to pay for health care for illegal aliens yourself?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Well, but wait a minute, Andrew. It's in Obamacare. It means that this conquering of this health mess that you just referred to, part of it includes health care for illegal aliens, and you have to pay for it. How can you say that that's a good thing?
Well, I never said that. You're saying that. You're thinking that I have that. You're thinking because of my comments that I have blind allegiance and everything that Obama does is so great. No, that's not. That's not what I'm saying. But do you think referring to the White House as a disco and saying that Obama's never ate so well? Do you think that serves intelligence? Do you think your snide comments?
Yes, I think my snide comments are sufficient to have had 200,000 people buy my book in hardcover and about 8 million people a week listen to me. Yes, I think my snide comments do have some value. Yes, Andrew, I do.
Intelligence. I don't think that your comments equates professionalism.
No, of course not. Now, your idea of professionalism would be what, NBC?
No, definitely not NBC. My idea of professionalism is somebody who can report situations unbiasedly and not do the bad mouthing. I mean,
and who is that individual who reports on situations in such a manner?
You are no different from these politicians.
I just asked you, who is such an individual? Since you're an expert on the media, tell us who that individual would be.
In some cases, what you do and what...
I just asked you a question, Andrew. Name that individual who meets up to Andrew's standards.
I would say somebody like a Ted Koppel meets up to my standards.
Ted Koppel? Mr. No Shoulders Ted Koppel, who lost his job? He was so objective that they fired him? He's teaching at some cow college somewhere in the Midwest? Are you joking?
No, but the early Nightline crew that was there before, those guys were somebody that...
Andrew, come on, you're putting on a fake New York accent. It's not even you. Stop faking the New York accent, Andrew. I know it's not even real. Which show do you work for, Andrew?
I don't work for no show. I work for...
Yes,
no
you
show.
Do. I can hear the faker. All right, you had a little fun. It was a nice relaxation. That's all. I needed a little run for my money. So if you don't like my snide comments, I suppose you can turn the show off and listen to some professional on NPR. who will give you the absolute truth about everything, as you well know. You know, there's no bias there. This is the savage nation where one man's opinion rules. I try to back up my opinion with facts where they're possible, but I believe that my snide comments about Obama's obsession with basketball and vacations is appropriate. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ohio State looks terrific. That young guy in the middle,
Jared Sullinger,
knows how to play.
Compared to Egypt, the United States is a very, very young country. 225 years, 7,000 years, you know, there's not much of a comparison.
There she is over in Egypt. The country is in chaos, and she's saluting the Egyptian people and their great history. With a crisis in the Middle East escalating, our frat boy president managed to talk about the NCAA men's basketball tournament selections and how he was going to fill out his so-called brackets. Japan overwhelmed by a disastrous earthquake, tsunami, and possible nuclear meltdown. He's squeezing in a round of golf, and he welcomed the National Hockey League champion Chicago Blackhawks to the White House. Thursday, of course, being St. Paddy's Day, our president will be celebrating along with the Irish. And Friday, he dashes off to Brazil on yet another junket with the family for reasons we can't even understand. So it has nothing to do, of course, with weakness. This is the mark of a strong, positive leader. Now we have the iodine question. Can I repeat it again? I do not believe you need iodine. I think you should be eating iodine-rich seafood, as I talked with you about. Kelp. And please don't get your kelp from Asia. Even if it's in storage for a long time and it's not been contaminated. I don't eat kelp. I eat nothing from Asia, by the way. If I go in a restaurant, I try to find out where the seafood's from. I will not eat any Asian seafood. I haven't for months, not years, months. I do not want calamari from China, okay? The calamari from China you can keep. You know what I'm saying. Kelp, seaweed, you want that from Asia? Even before the nuclear fallout, from polluted waters? It's like sewage. They grow it in sewage. It's very hard to find organic kelp, incidentally. So be very careful now. You got a lot of con men out there and shysters peddling you with the kelp and the iodine capsules. Be very careful. Okay? Just get a can of tuna fish and eat it a couple of times, once a day. I've been doing it since I'm a kid. I have so much iodine in my body, probably mercury as well. My hair glows from the... I'm not worried about it. Look how well I do with all this mercury in me. What else is in the news? Well, how about everything? Everything. Iodine, kelp, and iodine. Bulk granules. They're peddling it now, the herb companies. Coupons. Crackpots are telling you to get more iodine. They're telling you that the Japanese get much more iodine than we get every day. No kidding. They'll be getting a lot more iodine than we get now, for sure. Oh, yeah. Did you know how much iodine they get compared to us? Even before this, the average Japanese ingests around 13 milligrams of iodine a day. There's about 100 times more than the average U.S. citizen. We happen to be deficient in iodine. Now, of course, you don't want radioactive iodine. But the fact is that that's why you're probably suffering depression and you're such a fat slob. It's from low iodine levels and just a weak thyroid from being cow-like. America's filled with bovine people. Somewhat related to the low iodine intake. No, truthfully, we're not suggesting that you go out and inhale the fallout should it waft over the West Coast. Okay, but I mean, you could, you know, think of pumping up a little more iodine intake with some seafood, add it to your old beef once in a while, get a can of tuna going, that's all. 100 times more than we take in the Japanese. High intelligence, high energy people, and stocks are plunging as concern mounts over peril in Japan. Stocks are plunging. I can guarantee you that the old Soros has made a couple of billion already. That's all, on the catastrophe, him and his cronies.
Savage.
After last year, look, here's what happened. I picked North Carolina. They lost. The next year, they won for me. I think Kansas is going to do the same thing. They always feel bad about it.
That's true. Look, we've got a real calm leader now in the White House, which is what we've needed for a long time, not one of these hysterical Republicans. Now, it is true that wholesale prices on food went up 1.6% last month, the steepest rise in years due to higher energy costs, and food prices are now out of control, which is, of course, the last straw for America. Food prices now went way through the roof, highest since 1974. And that was mainly due to a sharp rise in vegetable costs, which is why the First Lady is so prescient. I mean, planting a victory garden is probably going to become mandatory, I suppose, under some kind of rule within Obamacare that we didn't know about, where the Black Panthers will be sent around with truncheons to make certain that you're not wasting the front strip of lawn by your house and you're not planting a vegetable for Michelle. Energy prices rose 3.3% last month, led by a 3.7% increase in gasoline costs. Well, yeah, it's more in Europe. I mean, it's time we paid equal to the world. We've had it real good here. It's time we had a young fella straighten us out. We got to pay $5-$10 a gallon, get us off that dependence on oil. And by the way, if you look at it from the right point of view, if food goes up, people will eat less and they'll lose weight. It's actually good for the obesity epidemic. It's a young fellow. Look, he exercises a lot. He's just trying to create better health in America. Drive less, eat less. It's a better picture. Victory Gardens. This is a great young family there in the White House. That's what we got. Real smart people. Prices rose 1% for apparel. It's known as schmatas, the most in 21 years. Costs also increased for cars, jewelry, and consumer plastics. Oh, boy. Wow. But it's not a crisis to him. He's got Air Force One. Think about that. I mean, what's a crisis? Crisis is relative, right? No, I mean, it's all a relative thing. He's not affected by it. And his advisors, consisting of his wife and his mother-in-law, they're not affected by it. So what crisis? What are you talking about? Get an Air Force One. You have the Marines deliver you food like their servants. What could be better? It's an incredible country, isn't it? That a man who never shot a Daisy BB gun could be commander-in-chief. It's just incredible. It's a wonderful country when you consider it. Remember the statement when I was a little boy, they say, in America, anyone could be president. Yeah, you betcha. You betcha. Turned out to be true. Anyone could be president. Take a look at what's in the White House. And what would you like me to talk about? I am talking about what I want to talk about. There's nothing else to talk about. Let's see what else is in the news. The firemen and cops around the country bilking us with their pensions. You know, should we get into that discussion? You ever see anything like this? You talk about, don't get me started because I'll lose half my audience. I mean, come on, this pension crisis has got to stop. Someone's got to rein this in. Somebody's got to stand up to the unions. It doesn't matter who the unions are. So, there's no end to this. It just keeps going on. It's just a banana republic now. But we don't even raise bananas. That's the problem. If it was a banana republic, I would say, okay, at least we have bananas. We don't even raise bananas anymore. I don't know what we produce. What do we produce in this country? I wonder what's going to happen now that the Japanese car manufacturers are slowing down, or actually they've stopped completely. Is that going to be good for General Motors? Think about that. Is that good for GM? Should we think about that? Is that too self-serving to even think about that? What's the difference? What about the unemployed in America? What's happening with them? Anyone doing anything for the job problem? What can you do? There's no jobs. You can't create a job when it doesn't exist. The problem is no one wants to live on less. No one wants to give up anything. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever will. That's all. Virginia Webster, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, how you doing today, sir? God bless you, first of all, for at least giving us the knowledge of truth. I'm an African American. I didn't vote for Obama.
I don't blame you. It has nothing. This transcends race.
It does.
I would have voted for a man of African heritage along the lines of Colonel West in 1 second, and I still would. I consider him a friend of mine. It has nothing to do with the racial makeup. It has to do with who the man is and what his character is. You know that.
Exactly. I tell you, doing the 2008 campaigning, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about Obama until I started doing my own research. And that's what's missing in this America when individuals, people go by what they're told, not by what they discover for themselves. And as I pay close attention to his campaign strategies, I pay close attention to his speeches, and the more he spoke, and considering the situation that was transcending among American at the time, I was afraid of the health care costing us a lot of money during the turmoil, during the crisis. And I pretty much thought it would go exactly what's happening now, except it's much worse.
It is much worse, and it's much faster. So given that you're an educated voter, what do you think he's going to do in the years that remain of his tenure?
Do you really want my opinion?
Yes, I really do.
The extreme side of me thinks about the Roman Empire. Okay. There's only one chance this country is going to have to really come to grips, is that, you know, election 2012, I mean, the Democrats have made it far worse. Obama is really not, to me, in my opinion, not focusing where he needs to.
Do you think he's fit for the job, or do you think that he's just basically not fit for the job? Let's start with that.
Okay, I think it's a combination of both, if that makes any sense. He is fit for the jobs on a political level for the Democrats, for the liberals.
You mean to push forward their radical agenda is what you're saying, which is what he's doing.
Exactly. But I think the Democrats created themselves a Frankenstein, if you will. You know how the story went.
Yep.
The mob goes nuts because Frankenstein is loose because the Democrats create something that's alive. I really do believe that the Tea Party has something that we really need to pay attention to, and that's the direction of the taxes. I think that's the direction of all kinds of things. And let me say this on a different note. Any African American Democrat that votes for some sort of reconciliation for illegal immigrants should be stripped of power, especially when you have other minorities in this country who are legal, okay, who are suffering from job loss. And I would just not even put minorities, just Americans in general, being stripped away from illegal immigrants taking jobs. And now that there are no jobs, now the sky's falling.
Yep.
Now you just want to still come some sort of amnesty? Even come
well, I know I don't want amnesty. I think that the Mexican people are wonderful, hardworking, family-oriented people by and large, except for the gangs that need to be stopped. But other than that, we have America first, and I think that America is not being given their due by their own government. By the way, are you aware today that the most secretive White House in history is going to do business behind closed doors? And as we're speaking today, the president is holding four meetings closed to the press, and then he's going to accept an openness award. Are you aware of this?
That's crap. You know something?
I'm telling you, I didn't make this up. Obama has four behind-closed-doors meetings, no press, from 10 a.m. to 3:05 p.m., and then at the end of it, he is going to emerge to accept an award from a coalition of good government groups and transparency advocates to recognize his deep commitment to an open and transparent government of, by, and for the people. That's in conjunction with Sunshine Week. I'm not making this up. This is something out of a dictatorship. It's something out of a total dictatorship, this kind of press, this kind of locking out the press and giving yourself an award. He probably will not even mention that his administration acted on fewer requests for information last year, even as it was asked for more. In a tally documented by the AP, this comes to us from JamieWaringFoolBlogspot.com. This is amazing to me. No question-answer schedule for the event today in which the president is given an award for his commitment to open and transparent government. You couldn't write a script that's more bizarre than this. He's giving himself an award for openness in government, during which there will be no questions and answers. That's all. Put that in the garbage. But the libs keep on, you know, doing their thing. Next tomorrow, it's St. Paddy's Day with the green beer and the step dances. Maybe you'll have some step dances in the White House, the clacking shoes. I told you the history. I don't want to go into it. How much are potatoes, though, today, Phil? How much are potatoes today? Did they go up or down?
Potatoes are cheaper. Potatoes are cheaper. Now the time to fall in love. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
old days. It was after the Depression when they were saying potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, now's the time to grab a gal. In San Francisco, of course, that has a double meaning. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Scorned, your South Carolina man kills ex-girlfriend and her two kids. You can't believe the stories that they're not covering. The Pentagon aide, remember him? Remember that story I kept covering about John Wheeler, who was found in a dump in Wilmington, Delaware? Now they're saying that, they've come up with a bigger lie now about him. Discovered him when a garbage truck containing his body completed its run at the Cherry Hill Island landfill and threw his body out. And here's a guy who, Harvard and Yale graduate, served as a military advisor to three presidents. He was the man behind the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And now he's being not only killed, but mutilated by the American press. They're lying about everything about him. Everything that they can to cover up who killed him. His wife, by the way, said, I think no one has been on the reward because they've already been paid. The way they disposed of his body, it's a miracle anybody ever found it. That just sounds like a pro to me. Now, Wheeler had been special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force during the presidency of George Bush. While working in the Pentagon, Wheeler had written a manual on the effectiveness of biological and chemical weapons, and he recommended that the U.S. should not use biological warfare. And so he was instrumental in the design of the Vietnam Memorial. It just shows you nobody cares about him. Nobody cares about anybody. We're living in a time of pure evil. Big Sisyphus wants you. Remember that. Big Sisyphus wants you. That's all you got to know. Just remember that. Big Sisyphus wants you. Virginia, David, you're up on the Savage Nation. Are you there? No, go on. Yes,
thank you very much. And, you know, this basketball stuff really has to be the last word for his leadership. I mean, your last caller mentioned Rome, and, you know, I'm struck by that because the world is literally melting and burning down, and here we have Obama fiddling with his tournament bracket.
That's right. Isn't he embarrassed? Doesn't anybody tell him how he looks by doing this?
It makes me embarrassed, sir. It really does. I mean,
no, what I'm saying is, you know, we're criticizing him, rightly so. Does he not get anyone saying, but Mr. President, this is an embarrassment at a time like this? And I think the answer is no, because Michelle is not going to tell him, nor his mother-in-law. And apparently nobody else is allowed to talk to him.
And sir, how about an investigation into how many staffers were involved in coming up with his analysis for those picks? Because it was pretty insightful, more insightful than he is on most issues.
Oh, you mean he did pretty good on the basketball picks?
Well, I think that he showed some insight on some of the picks, and I don't think that he has the time, or I would anticipate that he doesn't. So I'm wondering if...
Did he pick teams that won? Perhaps I was mistaken. I mean, some people probably made money, and if I'm not mistaken, Soros probably bet on his picks.
Well, you know, that brings up another point, Dr. Savage, and that is, you know, he's basically almost acting like a basketball handicapper, and in most states, sports betting is illegal.
Well, but, you know, it's nice to be king and all of that. You know, see, the important thing is to remember that a squirrel is attacking residents of a Vermont neighborhood. That's a news story right now. It just came up from the Associated Press. Did you hear this? There's a crazed squirrel in Bennington, Vermont, that is attacking people. Several people in Bennington say they've been attacked by a squirrel over the last few weeks. The Bennington newspaper is reporting he was shoveling snow when the squirrel jumped on him. He says he threw the animal off, but it twice jumped back on him. Game warden says there have been other reports, too. One woman is being treated for exposure to rabies, but the Vermont Public Health Veterinarian, blah, 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 never been a case of a squirrel. Johnson says it's possible the squirrel was raised as a pet and lost its fear of humans. He says the squirrel might go ballistic when it encounters people it doesn't recognize. Now, I mean, I could make some comments about the squirrel, about Vermont, about liberals, why even squirrels are not afraid of liberals. You know, I don't want to go there, but I'm giving you an example of what's going on in the world. The world's on fire, and the liberals of Vermont are worried about a feral squirrel. They can't have ever heard of a gun. You ever hear of a .22 caliber gun? Even a BB gun could stop. They'd probably get arrested by Obama's EPA or something for shooting a squirrel, a feral squirrel. Maybe you could become the official squirrel of the White House. What do you think of that, babe? Well, what if we recommended that this squirrel become the official mascot of the White House? What do they do with their dog, by the way? It was like Bush. You know, he had the dog when he needed it. Not like me with my dog. I love the thing. Do you think anyone actually plays with the first dog? What is the dog's name? I don't even know the dog's name. Bo Diddley. New York, Sarah, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, doctors. I wanted to talk about the media blackout on the terrorist attack in Israel this past weekend.
You mean the peace-loving Palestinians trained by the U.S. military who broke into a house in the West Bank and stabbed a mother and father and their four children to death, including a four-month-old? That's not news, according to Fox News.
Made me sick. I'm Jewish, and I hear about this. And
well, but you see, that's the problem right there. Jews are a small minority. They don't have a big power in America anymore. It's the Muslim vote that matters. And the investments from Saudi Arabia, that's really what dictates the news today. You know, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And unfortunately, the Jews are the eggs of today. It was pretty bloodthirsty. It's true. Stabbing a four-month-old child in the heart and then cutting an eight-month-old throat. You know, that's the mark of real bravery on the part of the Palestinians. And the best part of the story, of course, was the Palestinians giving out candy in Gaza Strip for that. Did you read that one?
That it was U.S. troops who trained them.
Oh, yes, that's right. The U.S. troops who trained them probably gave them the knife and the weapons, too. Well, that's the New World Order. See, we're living in it. People say, oh, I don't want to... The New World Order. We're living in it already. You understand? I'll be right back.
Now, I picked Kansas last year.
I know, to win it.
To win it, and I got hurt. But, you know, I'm looking at those twins, Morris brothers. I think they've got depth. They've got experience. And although Louisville's a terrific team, I don't think they can beat Kansas.
That's all. You don't need vision or leadership. That's passe. That's like honor, duty, you know, and country. That's an ashbin of history. New America, we do not need such things as vision and leadership. We need PR stunts. And that's what we have. Margaret in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yes, Michael, I just want to say thank you for bringing John Wheeler to the forefront. You know, it's a tragedy that the administration isn't recognizing or even investigating this man's murder. I know that he was involved with some computer, like a panel, something that was to operate possibly Air Force planes that a crop sprayer.
And that John Wheeler was one of the great cybersecurity experts in the American government. And notice he was killed and thrown in a dumpster just before the Middle East meltdown. He may have found something. He may have uncovered the plot that led to the Middle East meltdown, and that's why they killed him.
That could be. Well, I thought it had something to do with May. Okay, that's. But you know, I listened.
No. I read the other stuff about the with the Air Force planes, and I read that on one of the right wing nut job blogs. I don't believe that's the reason. But it's amazing to me that a man of that high power can be thrown in a dumpster and no one will follow it up, even his own so-called colleagues and friends. It just shows you the level of cowardice in Washington, D.C., that no Vietnam vets will stand up for him. No one has your back in America today. It's each man for himself.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today we've been talking about a couple of important questions, none bigger than the absentee president. None. The man is making his basketball predictions while the radiation seeps out of Japan and the Middle East burns. The economy tumbles. The dollar is at a 16-year low against the yen. In fact, I don't know if you know this, because of Obama's money policies, which are nil, the dollar now is the lowest it's been against the Japanese yen since World War II. Can you believe this? Did you hear what I just said to you? Did you hear this? It's unbelievable to me. The dollar dropped to its lowest point in almost 16 years today, briefly touching below 80 yen. Now, this is amid a perilous nuclear crisis in Japan, debt woes in Europe, tension in the Middle East, and weak economic reports at home, and yet the U.S. dollar is collapsing. The dollar is now close to its lowest point of the post-World War II era. How can this be? It's because we have the weakest president in American history. Therefore, the dollar is projecting weakness. That's my opinion. And that leads us to the questions of the day. If you voted for Obama, would you vote for him again? And if so, what has he done that makes you think he's a good leader or a good president? If you voted for Obama and you wouldn't vote for him again, what has he done to make you walk away from him? Thomas Paine once said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Obama is not leading. He refuses to follow advice from the American people, and he's not getting out of the way. He is a complete and total narcissist. Today, I will read a letter from the mother of a soldier who's been persecuted with a life sentence for doing his job against the Taliban in Afghanistan. Should we increase the number of nuclear power plants in the United States at this time? These are some of the questions that we are talking about. And on another note, the chief of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission said today that all water is gone from one of the spent fuel pools at Japan's most troubled nuclear plant. What that means is that there's nothing to stop the fuel rods from getting hotter and ultimately melting down. The outer shell of the rods could also ignite with enough force to propel the radioactive fuel inside over a wide area. In other words, an explosion. Can you believe this? While this is going on, Obama is giving us his picks for the basketball championships. And he's holding four meetings today closed to the press. And then he's going to accept an award for being the most open president in history. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Obama will not take questions at the openness event. There is no Q&A schedule for the event in which the president is given an award for his commitment to open and transparent government. We are living, I would say, in a banana republic, but I think that there's more freedom in Panama than there is in the U.S. At the same time, the old line, check-pants, Rockefeller Republican Party is so-called tired of the so-called right wing. Can you believe this? In other words, the freshmen, the new people we put in power who want spending really cut, are running into a stone wall with the fake Republicans. How about Hollywood and Red China? Well, you're not going to believe this story, or will you? Hollywood is trying to stay on China's good side. They're modifying movies to take out any images of China or Chinese military that is bad. We have examples of that. Did you know that in the late 1990s, Walt Disney Studios, Sony, and MGM all faced a temporary halt in their business dealings in China after releasing the movies 7 Years in Tibet and Red Corner, which were critical of the Chinese Communist government? Ah, you didn't know that. Well, guess what? They now own Hollywood with $1.5 billion in revenues in China, which is the fifth biggest box office market outside of the U.S. And a number of Hollywood studios are deepening their business ties to the world's most populous nation. Disney is building a theme park outside Shanghai. Sony produced the recent Karate Kid remake with the government-affiliated China Film Group. And Murdoch's News Corp's Fox International Productions recently made the Chinese language hit Hot Summer Days there. Even independent studios like Lionsgate and Summit Entertainment will release their films Killers and Red in China in coming months to make certain that the Chinese communists look good. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Everyone's asking, where is the president? The world is stunned. Gaddafi is using planes and tanks to kill his own people. His own people wanted to overthrow one of the world's most despicable regimes. Japan may be on the verge of a nuclear meltdown. We have no leadership. Obama is defining himself in a way that will destroy him, some are saying. They say he is avoiding the challenge, not just not rising to the challenge. In fact, he appeared at a fundraiser in D.C. He sat down with ESPN to reveal his basketball picks. Nobody can believe this. And it's not that he's a weak leader. He's an invisible leader. 1-800-449-8255. All these and more stories on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about the disaster that has struck Japan. First a tsunami, then an earthquake, now a nuclear, meltdown potential. The question is, what's the level of danger, if any? And I don't currently have the answer. I'm of the opinion at this point that the danger is minimal, if any at all, for the residents of the United States of America, West Coast or otherwise. I am not sure that's true. We, the people, have to rely upon the experts that I have on this show and anyone else you can find who is reputable. But you've got to understand that although science is involved, there are biases on both sides of the nuclear industry, number one, and you're going to hear a lot of propaganda. I really have no axe to grind, and I really have no, as they say, you know, dogs in the hunt. I'm not invested in nuclear energy. On the other hand, I'm not so sure we should not be invested in greater amounts of nuclear energy at this time. In fact, I think we should be, because the containment systems that are around our nuclear power plants are far different than those in Chernobyl, number one. And the plant that is causing this trouble right now in Japan was built by General Electric. It's an earlier model nuclear power plant. As I understand it, it had very weak contamination protection around it, not the later versions of it. So let's not now jump to conclusions. We're talking about whether you should be worried, whether you should rush out and buy potassium iodide, and if so, should you take it, and what are the dangers if you do take it? There's an awful lot to talk about. Right now, the government's worthless as usual. We have with us now a friend of mine, physicist Dr. Jack Sarfatti. Dr. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, you just said Mile Island nuclear accident, Jack. What does it say?
It says, after the Three Mile Island nuclear accident, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission detected radioactive iodine in local milk at levels of 20 picos per liter, a dose much less than one would receive from ingesting a single banana.
A banana? I just had a banana.
Yeah, well, then you got a lot more radiation from the banana than they got at the Three Mile Island nuclear accident. So there's
so
a lot of...
Wait, a 12-ounce glass of a slightly radioactivated milk would have about how much in it?
About 1/75th of the banana equivalent dose.
Oh, God. All right, so Jack, you're a physicist, but you're not a nuclear expert, but nevertheless, you can read the data, and you know, that's the important thing, is the ability to read the data and listen to the evidence and come to a conclusion. And you yourself are slightly hypochondriacal, as am I. Are you worried that you're going to get contaminated?
Not at this point, no.
Not at this point, no. And I think that's where I stand right now. Dr. Sarfatti, you sent me an article from the Oak Ridge Laboratory on potassium iodide, because after the last guest, a lot of people are going to run out and try to buy the stuff. This article says what? I mean, it's not quite recommending it, is it?
No, it's not. I would not recommend anybody take any potassium iodide, because as she said, you get diarrhea and you could stop your thyroid from functioning. It's no good to self-medicate.
Because what you sent me, it says when radioactive iodine is produced in the cores of reactors, it's reactive. It's very reactive chemically, and the radioactive iodide tends to stick on those surfaces with which it comes in contact, meaning what, the chimney of the plant?
But also remember that the doses we're going to get are very small, so I wouldn't worry about it at this point because of the banana, you know, the banana dose.
Let's explain once again, Jack. If somebody takes, let's say they really are around the plant like in Japan, they're giving out potassium iodide tablets there, that I know for sure. Explain what that does. Doesn't it just block the uptake of normal iodine by the thyroid?
Right, exactly.
So in other words, potassium iodide goes to the thyroid gland, and it blocks the thyroid gland from accumulating any radioactive iodine that the individual might subsequently be exposed to. However, by blocking your thyroid, your normal iodine intake, people go into a state of almost semi-comatose states of exhaustion and diarrhea results. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, diarrhea, and some people have even worse reactions, they said.
So we're not going to go out and get our potassium iodide tonight. Dr. Sarfati, thank you very much for being with us on the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Let's take a couple of quick calls. New York City, Kevin, go ahead, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I want to pay you a really compliment because with that expert, I think what we need to have in this country, just a fair, honest discussion back and forth, and I think it was great. It was great to have people exchanging discussion, and that's what's lacking.
Well, no, that's the only way we're going to survive as a nation. I mean, we all know what position we can take, and it becomes absurd and boring and boorish to just say, I'm right, you're wrong, let me prove it, gotcha. I mean, after a while, it's boring.
You agree?
But especially, look, especially in a time like this, this is no longer anymore just a horse race or a seesaw for fun. We're dealing with life and death issues here. I mean, now we're dealing with something else entirely, Kevin. This is not an issue that a Democrat, a Republican, conservative, liberal is going to differ on me. What is the truth here? What's the relative danger is what I'm trying to get to.
I couldn't be more on board with you, or really and truly, and I'm glad someone could disseminate the nonsense and the stupidity on the mainstream media and all that.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm worried about. I'm seeing a lot of so-called experts who are not really experts in science at all. They are left-wing activists, and they're posing as scientists when, in fact, they have an agenda, which is to scare us about nuclear energy, and I'm not so sure I'm willing to be scared yet.
And real quick, I'm saying it. I need a guy like you to disseminate and to figure this stuff out for me.
Well, let me give you another example. The USS Ronald Reagan is a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. I was aboard the Stennis 3 years ago, courtesy of the U.S. Navy. Those reactors will run those ships for 50 years. If we listen to the left wing, I guess we should deactivate all of our nuclear ships. Then we'd have no Navy. Wouldn't that be great?
Then we have nothing. We have nothing.
Then we'd have nothing at all. Well, right now under Obama, we may as well have rowboats since they're only used for humanitarian relief. I appreciate your compliments. The time right now is running away as usual. If you want to talk about this or see any of these topics, like the potassium iodide, what you should do about it, I am posting these articles on michaelsavage.com. We're all concerned, not only for the Japanese people. They are our friends at the end of the day. I mean, I'm a little queasy about using an aircraft carrier for humanitarian relief when we have pirates laughing at us and running all over the planet and the Navy's doing nothing. Okay, that's number one. I mean, you can certainly use other ships to deliver humanitarian goods. This is a classic example of what Obama's doing with the military, not using the assets properly. Some commander-in-chief. But I don't think that's the topic. Could radiation spread to the U.S. West Coast? Because at the end of the day, all anyone cares about is their own behind. And the answer to that is you should only care about yourself because at the end of the day, who else will? Are you worried that radiation could spread to the West Coast? Now, we have a lot of left-wing radicals on the air who are hoodwinking people in the media who don't know the proper questions to ask. It's a product of the lack of education in the media, number one. And number two, the high degree of operatives from the left that are in every think tank in the United States of America. And by what I have read, of course there's a possibility that radiation could spread to the U.S. West Coast. The question is, at what dose, and does it pose a threat? That's really, see, it's not could it spread. No doubt there will be some fallout of an amount equal to eating a banana, is what I think at this time. But then the events are not over yet, so let me, couch what I'm saying to you. You know, tonight could be another story, tomorrow could be another story. If we get a blow, at this time, I'm not taking potassium iodide pills, and I'm not changing my lifestyle in any way, okay? And I don't mean to tell any stupid jokes here. Yes, this is a new situation, but it is not comparable to Chernobyl for a couple of reasons. And the number one reason is that the Chernobyl nuclear power plant did not have the same protection around it that this GE plant had around it, even though the GE plant was not as well protected as some of the more modern plants are. It's far more well protected than was the Chernobyl plant. That's number one. And secondly, the Pentagon has moved its Navy assets away from the area. They never should have been there to begin with. This was stupidity. And whoever in the Navy decided to move an aircraft carrier battle group within the site of a nuclear, within the site of a massive accident of this kind involving nuclear energy is an idiot, and that admiral should be fired. But then again, probably somebody appointed from the Kennedy School of Government by Obama, who never went to the U.S. Naval Academy and never flew an airplane, because this made no sense at all. Absolutely stupid. Stupid to put a carrier group in such harm in harm's way. Stupid. And several crew members, of course, were exposed to contamination, very low levels. They were decontaminated with low giving them obviously baths and throwing their clothing away. Two of the helicopters had to be washed down, and now the Navy has moved the 7th Fleet away from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. Never should have been there. Never should have been there. Again, this is a scandal. And if we had a Congress that was worth anything, Congress would have the whoever made that decision, they would have them out of there, because they're putting our men in harm's way. But that's a time, that's for another story, okay? There are other things going on in the world in the news. People are dying all around the globe. Nothing on the magnitude, thank God, of Japan. But the fact of the matter is, there are stories that are of direct relevance to us. The Middle East is on fire. Soros, in my opinion, Obama, in my opinion, Brzezinski, in my opinion, set the Middle East on fire. And unlike Chernobyl, we know for sure there's been a meltdown in the Middle East. They started a chain reaction that they cannot stop, and now they're pretending that they had nothing to do with it.
Savage.
You know, we've all been talking about the scandal at National Public Radio and how they're supported to a great extent by our tax dollars. Yet NPR says tax dollars are just a small portion of the money that they receive. They could easily survive without it. And yet they're fighting tooth and nail to make sure the government funding keeps rolling in. Well, what's really going on? Joining us now with a look is Mike Gonzalez, the VP of Communications at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, how can NPR have it both ways?
They say both things. You know, they say sometimes, look, it's a very minor thing. It's only 2% of our budget, which is, by the way, misleading, because it is at least, and then they admit that it is at least 10% of the whole station economy, because the real money comes in through the local radio stations. So they say that to try to placate those who say we give them a lot of money. But then on the other hand, they say, but it's really, really important. Because then they realize that by saying that, people say, well, if it's so small, then you can do without it. Just rely on your membership model. I tend to believe the latter very much. I think that that Ron Schiller, the disgraced executive who had to quit after he was caught in a sting operation, he was speaking the truth. You know, this is they will survive. Not only can they survive, they will survive without federal money, without, you know, they can move off the taxpayer's dole. They have a good model. The founder of Craigslist, Craig Newmark, who knows a couple of things about business models, has famously said last year, this is a very, very sure footing. This is a very sound model going forward. The membership model, the donation model, may be more sound than commercial radio. And if I can just add one more thing, their reliance on the membership model, which now supplies about 90% of the money they use in the NPR station economy, that has kind of put them in a bind because of the kind of radio they are, and I believe they have a very pronounced leftist bias. They receive money now from leftist donors, and I'm speaking specifically, but not only, of George Soros, who's given them $1.8 million, will probably give them more, and through other outfits that George Soros supports, like MoveOn.org, he provides support, moral and lobbying support to NPR.
If they don't need it, why do they continue to fight for the money then?
Well, it is now a bit of a symbolic victory. A symbolic fight. They understand that if they lose their funding, it will be a rebuke to them from conservatives who will have said to them, we believe you're biased. It is unfair for us to continue to fund you, and we're cutting you off. And cutting off their funding is a public rebuke to them, and that is really what matters most here. I mean, also, 10% is 10%. You know, if I were to say to you, I'm going to take 10% of your salary, that's okay because you still get to keep 90%. You wouldn't react well. The 10% is not insignificant, but you would survive without it probably, and so will NPR. But it is the taking away the imprimatur, the umbrella of public that being public bestows upon them because they believe in public that really troubles them, I think.
Why are the Republicans so reluctant to stop the funding for NPR?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I think it's become a really partisan issue now, which breaks down upon along party lines, but also along philosophical lines. If you support big government, forget labels of left and right. The real battle that we're having in our country today, that we've had now for the last few years, is the philosophical battle over big government or individual freedom. If you are a supporter of big government as an answer to man's woes, you want to support NPR. And they know that people who support big government know that NPR supports big government in return, that it provides a biased view, a biased analysis of news. And NPR reporters deny this. They strain. Ira Glass, who does This American Life, has just issued a challenge to On the Media, which is a very liberal, biased news report that is in my area where I live, Washington. It's emitted on Sundays. It's issued a challenge to them to set out this week to prove that NPR is not biased. I guarantee you that On the Media on Sunday, which has answered Ira Glass's challenge and will set out to prove that NPR is not biased, will say on Sunday that NPR is not biased. They do not find a bias. However, when we conservatives say to them, you know, that's fine. You know, we're not going to get into an argument with you over whether you're biased or not because, it could be in the eye of the beholder. But you do have an imbalance in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
You have overwhelmingly people who come from leftist organizations with leftist backgrounds, with liberal associations. And by that I mean, for example, Dina Temple Raston, who covers national security. Now, listen, she covers national security, and yet she authored a book with Anthony Romero, the head of the ACLU, who is a liberal party on the issue of counterterrorism and national security. Peter Overby covers campaign finance. Peter Overby comes from Common Cause, which is an ultra uber liberal group. Daniel Schorr, until his demise last year, was a commentator on NPR for years. Daniel Schorr was a very liberal man. Nina Totenberg, who covers the Supreme Court and legal matters, she is very liberal. And anybody who watches her on TV, she has a weekly TV show where she expresses her opinions openly, knows she is very liberal. They have nobody like that on the right. They have all these people with liberal associations. Vivian Schiller herself came from the New York Times. She even did tour guides in the Soviet Union. This is the CEO who had to step down, guided tours. Now, they have nobody like that with a conservative background or conservative associations. What they say is, yes, okay, we admit we have an imbalance in the newsroom. However, that doesn't mean that the product is imbalanced. Well, that flies in the face of human nature. That is saying you go into people to fill a newsroom with liberals and leftists with no conservative in sight, and yet you're going to produce an unbiased product. That is asking too much of human beings. And in fact, they themselves recognize this, that they need for diversity when it comes to skin pigmentation. Vivian Schiller, when she spoke on Monday at the National Press Club, said she was very concerned about the absence of black men, of African-American men, after they fired Juan Williams. She wants to correct that imbalance. Why is there a need for diversity of race and ethnic background, and yet not a need for diversity of political views. It flies in the face of common sense. Unless you people a newsroom, unless you fill the newsroom in a balanced fashion, you will probably not have a balanced product. And yet they maintain that it does. It's baffling.
Where do you think it goes from here?
I think, let's go back for a minute here to this chart so they have a liberal bias, which is at the crux, at the base of all that we're talking about. I haven't heard myself, and I listen to NPR about 2 hours a day, or maybe an hour and a half a day. I haven't heard any reports on how state senators in Wisconsin are receiving death threats, Republican senators, Republican members of the Wisconsin legislature. Now, this is about 2 months after the horrible attempted assassination against Congresswoman Giffords in Arizona, in which we were supposed to live in a new age of civility. Now, these senators, I talked to one of them on Friday. She was really scared for her life. She has to travel around the state with five policemen. She's received death threats, and she's received threats to bodily harm. I haven't seen NPR do a single report on this. I haven't heard them, rather, since their radio. Now, it might be that they have, but I haven't heard any of it. Why isn't this an outcry on NPR? I don't know what will happen with their funding, but I know that they're under threat. For this reason, they're under as big a threat as they have ever been.
Exactly.
I've been a reporter around the world for many years. I spent 15 years overseas as a foreign correspondent, almost all of it in Europe and in Asia, with about a month in Latin America. 15 years as a foreign correspondent. I've seen state government journalism, and it doesn't work. It ends in tears. It produces timid journalism, timid reporting, or biased journalism. And in this case, the bias is pro-big government. And here's the simple truth that you must understand. Anybody who takes taxpayer money should be accountable to that taxpayer. But no journalist should ever be accountable to a politician. So that is a catch-22 that government journalism runs into, because anybody who touches taxpayer money should be accountable to that taxpayer through their elected representative, and yet no journalist can ever be accountable to a politician and remain a journalist. And that is the problem of government funding of journalism.
Mike Gonzalez, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know what I was doing during the before the show started is I have a family friend that's flying right now. I love going on flightaware.com. Like, I see that they're over Texas. They just had lunch. It's like a 6-hour, 5-hour, 21-minute flight. I like to see the fare. The fare, it says, you know when you go on Flight Tracker, you could follow, like, friends and relatives as they're flying across the country? It's the big Boeing 767 with a sleeper seat. I hear they're great. I've never been on one because either I don't travel at all or I travel in another manner altogether. If I could, I'd travel by private railroad coach. The problem is they don't go anywhere I want to go, and all the railroad stations are in the bad part of town. I'm getting blind from watching TV at night. I'll tell you the truth. It's a great relaxation for me. You know what's the most underestimated health promoter in the world? I'll tell you, television, in a certain way. You say, come on, Mike, you must be kidding. No, I don't mean cable news. I'm telling you that I found a long time ago, you know, I'm going back to like the 70s when they were bumper stickers, and I found one once on a refrigerator somewhere, I don't know where. It said, when in doubt, get horizontal. You know those cute sayings, right? I swear it works for me every time. If I get stressed out, I go in a dark room, usually my bedroom, I lock the door, load the guns, release the dogs around the property, and I watch a movie. Or I lay in a dark room for 20 minutes. It's the most restful thing I could do is lie in a dark room. I learned this a long time ago. It's cut out all input into your brain. You know your brain uses up about 20% of the blood sugar energy in your body at any one time? You didn't know that much, you know, energy requires to think. So anyway, I don't want to talk about health. You know what I'm saying? What's the point? You look at Nat Geo, what's the point of living altogether? That's why I don't believe in it. I say, how could you, as a trained scientist with a PhD from the University of California, how could you say you don't believe in Nat Geo's view of the world? 29 million years ago, 46 million years ago, 180 million years ago, there was nothing but muck. And out of the muck, there crawled a distinctly ugly, smelly little creature that had no head, nothing but a tail that slithered out. And the next thing you knew, here we are. I'll tell you why I don't believe that's true. Now, I've studied evolution. Here we go again. This is as good as Ron Paul callers or Bertha calls, but I don't want to deal with this. Because I do lay awake at night and say, what's the point of struggling if in the eons of history, millions of years, why should I motivate myself anymore? I've written all these books. I've achieved all these things. I've climbed all these mountains. What am I doing this for? What am I trying to prove? Who cares what I do anyway? And so you go back to all is vanity, right? I think it's Ecclesiastes wrote all is vanity. I knew him personally. He wasn't a bad guy. He could make a good corned beef sandwich at the same time he had philosophy that wasn't bad as well. He'd make you a sandwich and tell you all is vanity. Old Ecclesiastes ran a great deli in old Palestine. But the point I'm making is there can be evolution as a concept coexisting with the creation of man and all of the animals on the earth by God. I had this discussion once with a religious scholar on this show who really floored me with his answer. He was extremely religious. And he said, Michael, it says in the Bible, and God created the world in 7 days. How could you believe that, people say, unless you were a child or a Republican? I mean, that's the joke that goes around in, you know, snotty liberal circles where all their children wind up drug addicts, okay, or behaving like Charlie Sheen. They wonder why. You raise a child without any belief. You know what the child's going to wind up doing? They're going to believe in drugs. They're going to believe in alcohol. They're going to believe in rampant sexuality. Because if you don't believe in anything, if you don't believe there are any consequences or any meaning to your life, what do you think a child's going to do? A child must be given a religious upbringing, a belief in something. I don't say become a fanatic, okay? That's how I see it. So anyway, so he said to me that our concept of time is different than God's sense of time. And so when God said, and the world was created in 7 days, a day to God could have been 10 million years. A day to God could have been a million years. So it could mean, and God created the world in 7 million years. Or God created the world in 70 million years. And I said, you know what? Even though the numbers don't really work or add up, I'll take it. Since it's all a mystery, listen to how my logical mind works. My highly developed, super evolved mind, look how it works. Even though that answer is incomplete, and even though that answer is not intellectually perfect, I'll take it. How do you like that? I don't go for the Nat Geo we started from a worm crawling in the ground. I'm sorry. May you speak for yourself, Johnson. If you think you descended from a worm, good luck to you. Now I know why you behave that way. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm just having a good time today. I told you something's wrong. I think I know what it is. Instead of eating bread for breakfast, I had broccoli. I know you say, well, how'd you get there? And I tried something new. I said, you know, you wrote all these books on nutrition, right? Well, go back to eating living foods and whole foods. I mean, they're not crazy. You wrote books about this years ago. You know, when I started to analyze virtually everything I eat is dead. Everything I eat is dead. Everything I eat is like emaciated and dead and disgusting. The chicken is like a gray thing in a package before I cook it. It's been there. My relatives, I was a little boy in the Catskill Mountains. They go to a live poultry market, which you still see in Chinatown, by the way. One of the reasons I love walking through the Chinatown of San Francisco is that many of the Chinese remind me of my relatives when I was younger, you know, yelling at each other in a butcher market. No, I don't want that chicken. Yo, keep that chicken. I want that chicken. I saw the same thing going on when I was a kid. The women wouldn't pick the shrimpy little chicken that was depressed in the back complaining of allergies. They wanted that chicken that strutted and ran away from the butcher with the axe. That's the chicken they wanted. It's terrible. And you'd see these women knock the chicken's head off and it would run without a head with the blood spurting out. It was horrible as a child to watch that as a city boy. I got to tell you, the women didn't blink. It didn't mean nothing to them. And then they rip the feathers out and you take it home. Now, that was a live chicken. I guarantee you didn't eat antibiotics either. They didn't even know what an antibiotic was in those days. So I realized that I actually grew up on whole foods in a strange way. And now, of course, virtually everything I eat is this, that, packaged. So no wonder we feel denatured and we don't have much energy. So although I tend to eat a lot of organic food as often as possible at home anyway, all my fruit's organic, all my vegetables are organic, blah, 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 hippie chickens I get with the degrees, no this, no that, but they're still old in the package, right? So I decided, you know what, bread slows you down. You love bread. My mother loved bread. She lived to 88. Don't give me this no-carb business. Stop being a fool. Okay? You know, bread is the staple of life. You gotta be realistic here. Stop with the idiocy. I see people eating diets. You can't believe it. No wonder they look the way they do, and they need medication. But I decided to eat a little less bread, so I substituted steamed broccoli for breakfast. I feel so good, I'm frightened. I feel like Buddy Hackett when he went in the Army. I told you. I don't understand it. I don't have a headache. I don't have a sinus problem. I feel optimistic. This is bad.
Savage.